Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, November 21st, 2012 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. As I mentioned yesterday, this will also be the last podcast for this week due to the Thanksgiving holiday. Well, let's start with a follow-up on yesterday's NTP outage. Yesterday, one of the main network time protocol or NTP servers that's operated by the Naval Observatory went down and apparently was down for about an hour between 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern. The time server went back to the year 2000 as a result of this problem, and there is no public statement yet, but on a mailing list, someone did post an authentic looking email from an employee at the Naval Observatory confirming that the server was down. Now, we had a lot of users write in about the outages they experienced as a result. Most of it was related to Kerberos, the authentication protocol. If you're using Kerberos and, well, Windows Active Directory is kind of based on Kerberos, then you need synchronized times across your network. If not, then these authentication messages cannot be validated because they all come with an encrypted timestamp. One way to make your internal NTP infrastructure more rigid and more robust is that all of your internal servers should synchronize with one internal NTP server or a cluster, several of those, but not with external servers. Really only your own internal name servers that you kind of treat as your internal reference, they will register or they will synchronize with the outside. That way, if something goes wrong, at least internally, you're still consistent, which is important for protocols like NTP. The other check that's kind of built into NTP is that NTP does a sanity check. And this sanity check, if enabled, was triggered in this case. Now, the default is 1,000 seconds, which means that if NTP detects that it is off by 1,000 seconds, then the NTP daemon will exit and no longer sync. Now, if this happened to you, you still now have to restart your NTP daemon in order to maintain synchronization. So, a good event to look at your NTP infrastructure a little bit closer and see if you did set it up right, because usually NTP just works and it's one of those systems you hardly ever really look at. And then we got a couple of readers that wrote in about a new Linux rootkit. And this rootkit isn't so far interesting as it modifies outbound TCP content. The rootkit attempts to intercept HTTP replies and then inject an iframe that in turn leads users to another exploit kit. Now, we have seen this injected iframe in the past, and of course, usually that's done via SQL injection or other exploits, but this here goes down to a more fundamental level where your web content per se is really just still fine, but as the kernel then reassembles the TCP connection, then the modification will be made. So after it went through all of your code and such, that's where the iframe is then inserted. This is, of course, not a trivial operation to get right, and while the authors of this rootkit did a decent job in doing it, they forgot a few cases and didn't code it quite right, which then in the end actually led to the discovery of this particular rootkit. Well, and then we got some interesting news about quantum cryptography. Quantum cryptography relies on detecting individual photons, because essentially what you're trying to do here is that if someone would intercept the connection, they would actually essentially destroy the photon while it's being detected. So you can only detect it once, and this kind of prevents eavesdropping. Now, a problem with this was noise in the line, and any real network has noise. So what they found now is a way to better discriminate against this noise. The effect they're using is actually somewhat common when it comes to detecting optical signals, in that they essentially only detect the signal if they expect a photon. So if they know the frequency at which they arrive, they know exactly when to expect one, and that's only when they detect it. At any other time, the sensor will just collect noise, and that's also then used to sort of average away the noise. Seems to work quite well. They managed to essentially set up a realistic, in their terms, fiber connection over, I believe, 60 miles, and they were able to transmit about half a megabit worth of quantum crypto information. Now, half a megabit may not sound like a super high-speed connection, but typically those quantum crypto connections are only used to exchange keys, and then those keys are used to encrypt the actual data at a much higher rate. Well, and this is all we got time for today, so thanks again for listening. Have a good Thanksgiving, and I'll have a new podcast for you next week on Monday. Bye.